we're supposed to be going over budgeting today, right?
Yes, we are. And I went through my calendar. Number one, the first thing I noticed was like, oh my goodness, there was like hardly any gigs. Like I wasn't making money. So what did I do? How did I survive? Was the first thing that came to mind while going over it. So it was kind of cool because it's important for me to start now in July and start preparing for January, where there's probably going to be not as much income, let's just say.
Right.
You know, there was 3 weeks of not working because I had COVID, and then I'd signed with the manager. And then winning Joyburst, you know, paid off some studio costs and lived off of that money for a little bit, because even in April, like I was like, oh, we weren't that busy. It really wasn't until June that work really picked up. Maybe, oh, lovely. Canada's Got Talent just sent me an email. Gotta love that. The casting team is reaching out asking me to be part of the show. That's Young Canada's Got Talent this year.
Lit. Congratulations.
Yeah. Cool, because the game is set myself up for the off season. We'll say summer's like on. It's like, okay, what venues, like coffee shops, hotels, senior homes, like C-list rooms, but are there some B rooms? And obviously is there corporate and Christmas and all that stuff? And it's just like, I don't know. It's just exciting that we're gonna like map this out. It's nice. It's nice to do it with someone, because I feel like it's great to have a mentor and a partner to like, you know, bounce ideas off and map it out, right?
I'm just trying to organize this in a way that will make sense to keep track of. So instead of putting $400 for the Ellis, I want to have the dates and know that every time you were there, it was $200. So let's start from the top. January 1st.
So
now that like this, I'm just going to make you a collaborator on this. You see the format, you can fill out the rest. Now we have a good view. Total yearly income. Do you have a calculator?
Yep. So that's 1375.
Let's just call it 1375. That's halfway through the year. If you match what you did before, you're on pace to do $27,050. This is your projected income,
which is still under the 30K mark. So that means I don't have to pay taxes on it, which I don't hate.
I'm going to look at what your desired goals are.
Oh, we didn't count Joyburst 10,000.
If you wanted to do even 6, that means that in your peak months, you would have to double your income. We have work to do. We have to find out which one of these things you can turn into residencies. The most common names are Ellis, Opal, Wild Fig, Fat Quinn's.
The Wild Fig, I don't play at anymore. They were like, we can't afford to keep paying you. They wanted to pay me like 160, and I was like, no.
So why did you not take the 160?
Because it was just like, didn't feel right. I was like, no, I don't want to play at like an executive plaza hotel for $150, which is all the way across town.
Can you make tips there?
No.
Could you ask if you could make tips there?
Yeah, but like I just didn't want to do it. I was like, no, I'm not taking less. Like,
so I'm going to keep it real with you. You can't afford to do that. And you are still taking gigs for like $100. So I honestly don't see any rationality behind not taking the gig, especially if it can be a residency.
Okay, got it.
Personally, you don't have to take any of this advice. I'm just saying that personally, if they're in a position where they are telling you we can't afford it, it's probably because they can't afford it. You still need money.
I guess I factor in travel and like distance. Like Water Street's close. Paquin's is close. Like Country Vines is just up the street. Like Wild Fig was like literally like an hour away.
Well, you really have to figure out if you care about making this money or not. Like right now, you're not in a place where you're turning down gigs. You're in a place where you need more gigs so you can be in a place to turn them down. So virtually, you're performing 15 plus times a month, right, to get to 3,000. You would like, regardless of how many times you play, to double that. And the only way for you to double your income right now is to virtually play every single day. So we're in a particular juncture in your career and the gigs that you have access to. You don't have enough gigs to turn down money. You have to take everything that comes to you. Now we can see it all.
Yeah, but I'm also not willing to work every day. That's not realistic for me. And also, I'm not going to travel across town for anything less than 200.
Well, you got to figure out another way to make it profitable for you then. Whether that's merchandise, having a tip jar. There's also like the intangibles, which is reputation building. Not just all in the dollars. Depending on how you're looking at it. You can look at it as I drive to a place I'm going to work. I'm getting paid to do that. And then I go home. But that's not how you build a career. And if you're interested in building a career, you have to look at it like, what can I get out of this gig outside of the money?
Yeah, I get what you're saying in terms of residencies, because like when the winter months come and it's not like peak season, it's going to be important for me to have residencies at hotels and casino resorts and things like that.
That's going to be right back here. That's also why I would keep those gigs. Like it's okay to take 150 because when it's January, you need that. And if you can be there every week, it's not 150, it's $600. That literally doubles, that one place is going to double what your income was for January.
Right. I got it. Okay. So that's also what I need to be thinking of in terms of like,
yeah, like I wouldn't have pride about this. You're not in a place where you can have pride right now. You have to work. You have to earn that. There should be a monthly expectation. We haven't even gotten into what your expenses are. I know your rent and your food and what and your transportation is more than 620. It's more than 550. It could be more than this, you know? And so imagine there's no way for you to supplement your income with like your boyfriend's income or whatever it is like that. There's no splitting of anything. Like I told you that we were going to build a way to financial independence. That genuinely means being able to support yourself.
Yeah.
I don't think we can turn down gigs right now.
Okay, I got it.
This is going to drop off. There's going to be like 6 months out of the year where it's going to be important just to make $1,000.
Got it.
In this projected income, if you take those gigs, just that one place, I'm just talking about the one place, the plus 600, we're talking about an additional 18 times two is 36, gets you across the $30,000 mark. So the projected income is $27,000. What's your target income?
Probably between 30 to 45,000.
We spoke last week, that number was like a six-figure number pretty much. It was like 100 grand.
Yeah, I don't know if I feel comfortable making 100 grand. You know, like, I don't know how I feel about that.
Why?
Well, like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. Like, I don't know.
Quick, we got to unpack that. Why don't you feel like it's okay to make $100,000 a year?
First thing I think about is like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to pay taxes on it. I'm going to work and then I'm going to have to pay the government all this money back.
So I have a question. Would you rather make under $30,000 and think about what that means for your life? You'd rather make under $30,000 than make $100,000, pay $30,000 in taxes and have $70,000? And it's okay if that's true. I just need to know where we are.
I don't know.
Okay. That's something I want you to sit with. And it's okay. Does not matter that we're here for you. I'm here for you. I'm here to get you to where you want to be. And that's why I want clarity on where you want to be so I understand what work needs to be done. But I do want you to think about it in that framing. Imagine it's me saying this. This isn't you. This is me saying it. So you can look at it objectively. I, Kevin McCove, would prefer to make less than $30,000 to avoid taxes. I do not want to make $100,000 and double what I have in income because I'd rather avoid paying taxes. So for me, and it's going to have a different meaning for you, for me, that would mean, what are the things that I value? I value shared experiences and quality time. If I have $30,000, can I go on vacation? Can I travel the world? Can I buy myself luxury items? If I wanted to purchase a car, how possible is that? If in the future I see myself purchasing a home, is this a reality? if I would like to invest money, is this a reality? If I would like to have a savings account, is this a reality? If I would like to retire, is this a reality? If I plan on having children and I want them to have something to inherit, is this a reality? These are the questions I would ask myself.
This is good because, like, I just realized when you said that, I was like, oh, like, if I make double my income, like, I could get another apartment. I could go live with Isaac and we could have a dog, which is what I want. What's important to me is, like, to have my own place that has, like, washer, dryer, $1,800 to $2,500 a month. Yeah, it's like, oh, then, like, Isaac and I could get a place together and we could have a dog.
I need you to write it down so that you can live through the reality of your choices and think about your future in a way that says, these numbers are reflective of my choices, possibility. These numbers are reflective of potential. What are the things I desire most in life? Can I have those things with this level of potential? Will I sacrifice this and still have to do all of this work for this quality of life? Because that will determine whether you say, $100 gig, I'm there. $200 gig, I'm there. I'd rather make 200, but if you can pay me 150 and I can have a tip jar, all right, cool. Now the responsibility is on me to make sure that I have a couple bucks in cash to put inside of the tip jar, that I have a sign where people can Venmo me, and that I put on a performance that earns the other $50 plus. You can frame it in the mindset of, well, if I go in with no tip jar, I can only make $200. If I go in with $150 and a tip jar, I have the potential of making $200 plus, which I never had before. Believe in your gift and your skill and your ability, someone opening up the possibility for people to reach into their own pockets and give you money is actually worth more than them guaranteeing you the extra 50 bucks. You just have to do the work in delivering on the other end. And it's a real question to say, do I want to do that work?
I would work sometimes 3 to 5 shows a day. I have discovered the balance because, like, I used to work every single gig. So it was very much survival, didn't keep track of how much I was making. I just felt in this constant state of, like, fear and desperation, and I got to get to the next gig, and I didn't enjoy what I was doing because I was like, I got to get to the next one. I got to be there. I got to be on time. With the residencies, there was no joy. I'd get to the gig and that's how I got fired. I'm really telling one on myself, but, like, I was so complacent. I showed up at a gig. I was not appreciated. No one cared that I was there. But the problem was I just wasn't present to them. So I lived in a reality of I'm not appreciated. I don't like what I'm doing. Yes, I'm getting paid. Yes, I'm working consistently, but I was anxious. I was stressed out. I said all bunch of things about myself and I was never satisfied. And it didn't matter how much they paid me. Saying this to you so that you can get the world of what I was once in, and so I can get present to you. Like, I really have to put that aside because it has nothing to do with now. And it's important, right, to address, like, kind of what's already in the space, like what you said. Let's unpack that. It's like, okay, what's the baggage we got here that we need to unpack? Because we're not going to move forward. When people say, like, you could just go get a day job, I'm like, I haven't worked a day job in over several years. Like, I gave my word to being a full-time working musician. So to me, accepting, like, a day job occurs like going backwards, but let's not limit it. Like, let's actually look at that. Like, maybe there is something else I could do outside of gigging that can support me, that can be fulfilling now for who I am now, a match for who I am now. It's just going to take me getting out of my own way and limiting what's possible.
You don't have to turn your life upside down. You can do all of this and also have a job. That, to me, the dreams that you describe to me mean that you're going to work every day. If you're like, I want to increase my social engagement, I want to have dedicated fans, I want to do more podcasts, I want to do more radio interviews, I want to do more performances. If you truly want to do all that stuff, you're going to work every day. Every day for, like, years, every day. You're either going to be in a rehearsal, you're going to leave that rehearsal, you're going to go to an interview, you're going to leave that interview, go to a recording session, you're going to leave that recording session, you're going to hit a writing session, you're going to leave that writing session, you're going to edit social media posts, you're going to stop editing social media posts, and you're going to have to respond to everybody that was there. You're going to have to then send out emails. Every single day, you're going to work. And every day is going to be working for 8 to 10 to 12 hours a day before you enter into a space where you can like dial some of that back. That's the reality of the dreams that you have.
I feel like when you shared, oh, you're going to go to like the show and then the studio and then a writing session. And I know you call it work. To me, it's, oh, that sounds like fun. Like
performing is fun, right? But at some point in time, it became anxiety. I know this because we went through your psychographic profiles and stuff. And, you know, it's like the fantasy and the romance and stuff. You get to experience something that is fairly romantic. You get to go to a place, have people pay attention to you, perform music, receive money. You get to do this. At some point in time, you started to feel the anxiety of, damn, I got to get to this gig. I got to sing for this thing. I'm just here. I'm going through the motions. That's a reality, period. You will get tired of going to radio interviews, of going to writing sessions, of recording in the studio, posting social media content. You're like, oh, I want more fans and more engagement, and I want to make 10,000 followers, and I want to blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, well, now you have 10,000 people that you have to entertain.
Right.
You're going to take 5 DMs, and it's going to be 500 DMs. And people are going to be upset if you don't get back to them. That feeling is just a real feeling. It's how you look at it and you look at your life and your future and your goals and your opportunities. Again, your why that determines how you feel about it, because those feelings can come into every aspect of what you do. And you know it. You know that's a reality. You've seen people like Britney Spears or something like that. Mega success, right? Now, obviously, we're going to an outlier, right? But mega success and be like, I'm burnt out. I had to get checked into the hospital because of exhaustion. You think they're just vacationing and it's just cool and lolly? It's like, no. It's nonstop. It doesn't become less work. It becomes more work. That's the reality. Putting that in context so that you understand, are these dreams that I truly want to chase, or are they dreams that I want to dream about? And that's okay. If you're like, nah, I'm cool with 30 grand. That's what I want. Awesome. Then that's what we'll try to work to get. But I do need to know the honest reality of what you want, right? So I can actually try to put you on a pathway to get to that place.
It's interesting because I've definitely like thought about in terms of like, you know, fame and just being like really like well-known. Some points I have experienced like major anxiety about it. Like, I don't even know what I would do, but I've always told myself, well, you know, you wouldn't do it alone. You do it with a team of people. But I get what you're saying. When you're the talent, there's a certain you in the driver's seat of your life. You're the one doing the radio interviews. You're the one at the studio. You're the one performing. Like there's a certain aspect of individual inside of that team. Yeah, I think it's good. Maybe just like leave it with me to like really get clear on. I can't paraphrase what you said. It was so brilliant. You'd said something about reality and the, like the dollar value and having that be a match. The way you worded it, golden. I don't think a lot of people think like that. I just don't. And it's a blind spot.
You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah. You literally don't know. And yeah. For me, I'm like, of course, you know, I'm born with this gift. So my whole life has been about people acknowledging my gift and thanking me for my gift and telling me what they think I should do with my gift. And perhaps to some degree, that's like influenced my thoughts about it. And then there's the other side of it where it's the people who believe in me and they're growing. They're really growing. And it's like the pressure to not let them down is growing for me. Probably something a lot of artists, you know, deal with. You got all these people believing in you. Like, I'm out here. I'm a human being doing what I love, living my purpose. And I really do get to say what that looks like. Even like my dad, you know, has had a few conversations with me and said, like, the road is no picnic. Like, do you want that for yourself? Do you want that for Isaac? And I've talked to Isaac about it. Tomorrow, if I'm going to go on tour for like 6 months and go tour arenas, like, what does that look like for us? Like, how do you feel about dating someone who wants that for herself and her life. And I've had conversations where it's, I'm with you, I'll go with you. Other conversations where I've even said, like, I don't think you want that. And I don't think this is going to work because I want that.
Like, it's an unnecessary conversation. The conversation is a real conversation when it's like, look, I am going on tour from June through September. I'm going to be on the road for the next 90 days. These are the dates lined up. These are the opportunities where you can come see me. Are you okay with that? Then it's surreal. Any conversation beyond that, you're just using it as an excuse. There's a lot of ways to get to like what you want that don't have to induce anxiety, that don't have to be overwhelming, that provide you security, both financially, but also like mentally, physically, that set you up for when you get older and your energy levels may be different. Your desire to go perform out may not be the same. Just allotting for all of those things that can potentially happen, but having security in it too. It's really just figuring out what it is you want, what it looks like, and what it really truly is. And you can do this with whatever it is you set your mind to. You can do it, but you do have to set the intention behind what it is.
These moments and these meetings with you, they're so perfectly in alignment with the artist's journey.